Welcome. This is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. We have another great show tonight dealing with metaphysics and spirituality, of course, and science and all kinds of other parts of our, we'll say, understanding of our universe and why life is, of course. I hope tonight will be an interesting show. We're going to deal with the first humans in physical form, which are sometimes referred to in, we'll say, metaphysics as the Lemurians. But it's a little more than just what you may have read about in some, you know, book about them, because I'm going to explain how humans come about compared to animals and how animals actually enter into this thing. A lot of people, you know, have their questions about evolution versus creation from a superior being or a greater being. And to me, they're kind of put together the same from the same source, which is everything is part of our creator. But there is a connection in terms of animals and evolution of animal bodies. And so I want to try to explain this, and hopefully everybody will get it. But if you don't, you know what you can do? You can call in, and you can call 877-876-5227 if you're in the U.S. And even if you do get it, you can call in and just say, gee, I don't believe what you're saying, or I like what you're saying, or whatever you want to do. And if you're in Canada, you can try 888-815-9756. We'd love to hear from you. That's why we're on the air tonight. So let me start off by, you know, I always like doing this definition thing. And we're going back millions of years, millions and millions of years in time. You know, when we do that, I tend to talk about dinosaurs, but I won't do much of that tonight because this is going to be after they were around. So, although I do like the cute little things, if you can call them cute. There's something about dinosaurs that are very endearing to me. But that's another show and another time. Let's talk about what's going on after the dinosaurs. What's going on after the dinosaurs is that there is an additional change in the amount of rays of energy that are focused onto Earth at one time. Now, what does a ray of energy do? It tends to develop a chakra in the body of a living thing, and sometimes even in non-living things, like in minerals. But minerals don't have much in the way of chakras. They might have a very minimal type of one that responds to pressure and heat and certain chemical reactions, which we don't really identify much as being alive. And I don't want to talk about them anyway. But the important thing is that when these energies are focused on the planet at a specific time, they represent one of seven, each one. And there were three at a time during the dinosaurs and up to about 64 million years ago or so, focused on our planet. Three at a time out of seven. We know there's seven types of energies. There's seven types of chakras that could be in some type of pre-life or life form. Now, three out of seven is not even half. And what these energies, when they're focused on as a ray, tend to do is they develop the sense, they develop the chakra more by increasing the physical part of the chakra and making it more receptive to being able to sense energy of like form. And this is very important because if you have a sense, how the sense works is this. It through it having a little stronger ability to think. Now, it's hard to think that energy thinks, but it is true that they do. And it's very slight. And in this very slight ability to think, while being in the sense of something that is trying to be alive or is alive, it is able to attract a little bit of energy from something else. It could be another thing of a similar type or something of a different type, but when it attracts this energy, it becomes a sense. It allows the form that has the sense to be able to tell something about things that are not it. Wow. That's how senses work. It doesn't matter what kind of sense it is. If it's in some form and it is a sense, that's how it works. And these rays tend to build up the strength of the energy in the senses, allowing them to function better. The way that works, by the way, and this is maybe a little complicated, I'll try to make it as simple as possible, is the following, that the stronger the sense is to begin with, the more it responds and becomes helped out by the focused ray energy, because the ray energy is additive and a multiplier, both. It's an additive in some respects and a multiplier in others of the strength of the energy that's in the sense. And it tends to work when the sense is organized. In other words, a disorganized sense is pretty much a nonsense. That's an interesting word. And an organized sense is a sense that is functional and working. And as long as senses are functional and working, which is a good thing, then they can be stimulated by this energy. Now, an interesting thing about this is that there's a good part of this and a bad part. The good part is when the organized sense is being directed by something we call spirit or the thought of our creator associated with it, then it's trying to do goodness. It's trying to sense things in ways that produces additional organization, not only for the thing that the sense is part of, but for other things as well. That's a good thing. And when these energies that come in help those senses, that it helps them to unify with the senses in one's own body, and it helps it to unify and create all life into a more unified and directed type of good type of life that is more like God. That's a good thing. There's a bad part of this, and that is that some senses become crystallized. That's still organized. But crystallization is organization that only helps the sense itself at the cost sometimes of other senses in the same body and almost always at the cost of senses in other bodies. Okay, I hope I'm not confusing you with this, but this is an interesting thing. I like to tell little tidbits of stuff that people might not know about. I don't know if it really makes sense, but it's a good thing to know about this because it explains how evil gets started. It explains how people and other things turn away from the goodness of their creator because they tend to organize their senses in a way that just allows the senses basically to work better within themselves, but not for the whole, all the senses in the same body, nor does it help other people's senses. So it's kind of like, who cares about anybody else? I'm just going to care about myself. The senses kind of like into that. And that selfishness, the selfishness of energy that does that, can actually somewhat even still be helped even by the focus of rays on it, because it is still organized, but it isn't following the thought of its creator. So, interestingly, our creator came up with a system, so even those who seek to deny the creator's existence could go on living and even improving their senses up to a point. Now, that point seems to diminish and quickly end when the ray stops focusing on the center that was enjoying the added organization and strength and power it was getting from a focus of ray on it, even if it was very selfish. Then in that case, those senses can start cracking and causing all kinds of problems and diminish fairly rapidly. Like in a number of years, a few years, there may be a great diminishment in the sense that was relying upon this energy to keep it going while it was being selfish and crystallized in a weird way that wasn't really helping anything other than itself. Well, then when an array change takes place and it's not like being focused anymore, it's in big trouble. Okay. All right, so all that aside, and I think that that's very interesting. It may not really tell us much about the first humans in physical form, but it does tell us a lot about how senses work, and that always helps because it's important to realize that until there were four senses that could be focused on at one time, it was absolutely impossible for the fourth kingdom, humans, to be found on Earth. They could not exist on Earth. You might say, well, why not? Well, you see, this is the problem. You gotta have at least half or more of the senses in your body functioning that, and these are the senses that are dominant. We call them dominant senses. They are also the senses that have some degree of spirit connected to them, consciousness of some sort connected to them. You've got to have this, and particularly if you're human, this is an absolute. There are some exceptions in the animal and plant kingdom. There are no exceptions in the human kingdom. You can't do it, and that's just the way it is, or you're not human anymore. Now, interestingly, there are some human beings that could choose to not be human by becoming evil, and that's another story. But for right now, let's just talk about humans that are human. And the humans that are human have to have the majority, at least half or more, of their senses, so that they can sense not just with less than half, but equal to or more, so that they could sense in an organized fashion the relationship to other things and to be able to develop what we consider to be human consciousness. Human consciousness includes the ability to determine fairly accurately the difference between oneself and other selves in a multiple of ways, and to recognize the difference between one type of life form and non-life itself, and another type of life form and non-life itself. Now, these are critical elements to making what a human being is, and you've got to have this factor that comes into play. Now, human beings have seven senses with seven types of spiritual connection to each one of those senses. So they have to have four out of seven, because three would be less than half, and four is over half. They have to have the four. Now, some animals also need the four, actually, and they couldn't come into existence as well until after the four types of energies are focused on the planet at a time. Whereas dinosaurs, oh, yeah, I'm talking about them again, those dinosaurs didn't have to do that. They only had to get three of their senses going at the same time, because they only needed to recognize their own type of life form, and they needed to recognize only some types of other life forms that were specific to the types of senses that they had. Now, it could be three in any combination, so they had three senses, but they didn't have all, each type of dinosaur did not have the same type of sense as other types of dinosaurs, which makes them different, obviously. So they were a different kind of creature from humans and other kinds of mammals. There were mammals around during dinosaurs, but they had the three senses as well, and not four. After the dinosaurs, some mammals developed the four. Very interesting. And could, because the four rays are being focused on the planet at a time. Now, the interesting thing about this is that dinosaurs could not have existed. Everybody says, well, they were wiped out by the comet coming in, or the asteroid, and they were also knocked off by changes in the weather, the vulcanization process on the planet, gases are clear, all this stuff. But all those things were very helpful. But those things came about because of the change in the rays. See, we got the chicken and the egg thing going on here. And ultimately, they could not have survived. Now, it's hard to prove that. And, of course, we can argue, because it's a chicken and egg problem, which came truly first. But in any case, there were far fewer kinds of dinosaurs towards the end of their development. Although they were still very successful, the ones that were around were very successful. Some were the most ferocious ones that ever existed. But they were decreasing in their types. And that's a sign that extinction wasn't that far away anyway. It's the end of the evolutionary process. And without the spiritual process taking over, the animal or plant will be doomed in its life cycle. It will not be able to survive the changes in these ray focuses, and over time will vanish. So this is an interesting point. I'm saying dinosaurs are doomed regardless of what happened because of the changes in the rays was coming. Interesting point. That doesn't mean they weren't successful with three rays. They were just successful in the kind of life that they were living. Their kind of life was ending. And that kind of life did not allow them to interact with other forms of life as greatly. They could not grow in consciousness beyond a certain point, and even their level of intelligence were very high for their level of consciousness, interestingly maybe even higher than some animals after them, was not able to take great strides in advancement over time. They were going to get locked into where they were. Okay, so four of these rays, these type of energies now start focusing on the planet a few hundred thousand years after dinosaurs are gone, and what happens? Now, we've got a change, and some types of animals, just a few, start developing a great ability to use four of the rays, regardless of the type of focus that was coming in at a time. Even though only four out of seven were focused, as the rays changed, some of the animals were able to use the ray no matter what. And these were called primates. They had the adaptability, they developed the adaptability to be able to change. Now, they didn't have the consciousness of a human being, but they could change in the primary, sense. They could change no matter what ray was focused on the planet for millions of years. They could use that center to develop an ability to understand more about life, to grow in their consciousness and knowledge at the same time, and to keep their bodies going and not die out. Very interesting. Now, these were not human beings. These are primates. A couple of these primates became extremely good at this. They became so good at it that if you could inculcate the additional ingredient that would make them into a human being, which I'm going to tell you about in a minute, they would be human. But unfortunately, they couldn't just make that leap in themselves, because they were still in a kingdom shut out from being human. And what is that important element? They had both heart centers and crown centers. They had all seven of the centers. But their heart and crown centers never had associated with it the spirit of God, God's own thought. They never had consciousness that was developed from the knowledge that these centers gathered. The centers gathered the knowledge, their brains produced knowledge with it, but they could not take that knowledge and make it into consciousness. Consciousness is the ability to apply the knowledge to new situations, things they haven't met before, and be creative with it. That was not possible for them. The reason is that they didn't have a spirit sphere, a spiritual part of these centers in them. And you might say, well, why not? Why couldn't they just grab it from the osmos? Since it's part of God, why couldn't they just ring God up and say, hey, you know what? We're doing real good with our seven centers, but two of them are missing you. So if we could just get some of you, we could become humans. And that is something that actually can happen and does happen on some, and maybe even a majority of the worlds in our universe. The problem is, it's time. It takes 20-30 million years longer than Earth, our planet, had to get the animals, that the primates that were most efficacious in doing this whole thing, able to actually develop the connection with their creator that would make them into human beings. So what I'm saying is that what evolutionists claim happened on Earth, which didn't, by the way, does happen on the majority of the worlds that aren't Earth. So in a way, they're not completely all that far off. It's just that it takes a heck of a lot more time. And it's not impossible for it to happen at all. And it's not an insult to human beings that it does happen. But in our world, there was a need to accelerate the process because we didn't have enough time. One of our jobs is to like overcome this thing called evil and do other things on our planet, and we had to get with it. We did not have 20 or 30 million years, and for sure it was at least another 10 million. The minimum is 10, probably the average is 20, and it could have taken 30. We didn't have anywhere near that much time to get the job done. So something else had to be done in order to make this whole thing work. And now I'm trying to explain that. Now, I hope I haven't lost you with all this. because this, I'm telling this, I'm explaining this in much greater detail than I've ever said it on this show before, or anything about it really on any radio station or anywhere, because this is pretty complicated. You got to hold a lot of these concepts in your head to be able to figure this whole thing out. And, you know, hopefully you're going to do that. If you don't, you can call me right now, or, you know, email me or whatever, and I'll explain it further. But I think the point is, I'm hoping that you're staying with me on this, because this is really interesting. I find this a fascinating subject. Of course, I find every other stuff fascinating. Okay, let me go on. So we got to speed up the whole system. And the answer to speeding up the system is a radical thing. It's not the common way of doing it, and it oftentimes fails, and it actually failed a few times on Earth. About 21 million years ago, these primates had been developed, and they weren't in too bad a shape. They had developed a little, like, bud type of consciousness. It may be the heart center, but no consciousness at all in their crown center. And they had a slight greater level of understanding of their creator than any other primate. Now you can say, what is a slight understanding? I can't answer that. I just know it was a very, 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 very small amount, and it was coming from the group soul. And the group soul had developed more than any other group soul, but it wasn't enough for any individual animal, primate, to be able to demonstrate it to any great level. That's the problem. So maybe a few had a very slight understanding that we would recognize to be like the human understanding of something being like a creator. And seeing that creator in other life besides themselves, which is even amazing. Okay, that's a great thing. What happened between 64 million years and 21 million years? Well, during that time, there was a thing called a human soul. A human soul comes from a multiple consciousness combined from the best of the souls of, we'll say, animals, but mostly the primates. So some of the primates that actually went extinct because they developed as far as they could develop, from 64 million years to about 21 million years, some of those primates became human souls. And from 64 million years to about 34 million years, some of these human souls actually developed what we'll call partial human beings. But they never reached physical form. Most of them went into astral form. They had some mental body. They had some astral body. But they never had a true physical body. They may have had a little bit of an etheric body. That means they had some etheric sense. Some of them lived around the poles from 64 million to 34 million years ago because they couldn't really be involved with very much life because they were not complete. They weren't truly fully developed human beings. And so they kind of floated around and had some interaction together. They developed some level of personality, not very much. But they never, we would not recognize them as being like fully human. And we'd say that there's something different about them compared to the other animals that are around. And they didn't interact with animals. They only interacted among themselves in somewhat in the etheric world around the poles, and particularly the North Pole. No, they weren't Santa Claus. And they weren't one of the elves either. They were just hanging around the North Pole because that was a place where there wasn't as much other life that could confound them and that they could have some issues with. Okay. Now, from 32 million years ago, or 34 million years ago, excuse me, to about 21 million years ago, there was like a second group, we'll call it a race. These are actually races. The first one is called the first race, and the second one's called the second race. But it's not really a fully developed race, not physically, of humans, but it's a little like etheric developed and mostly astral. And this second group developed around water, because they also were better when they floated above the water, because there wasn't too much living there. Now, if they were in the water, there was all kinds of fish and other things in the water then. But they were above it. And so this is another place where they sort of hung out. Around great bodies of water. We would call them oceans and lakes and that sort of thing. And you might say, oh, well, that sounds like a real fantasy. Well, you could believe it or not believe it. It doesn't really matter. The point is, what I'm saying is there were some unfinished not completed human types of astral and etheric bodied kind of people that had somewhat personalities. The second group had much more developed personalities than the first, but they weren't. What kind of life did they have? I can't describe their life because very little is known about these. What I'm telling you is explained in some, you know, older texts and ancient stuff. But nobody was there. There was only recording lives of these people because they were barely people. They didn't have the kind of things that we're used to as far as people, like civilization is a major part of it. Okay, so about 21 million years ago, an interesting thing happened. Some folks came from other worlds. Now, for those of you who are big into that, you're going to say, finally, he said something about the other worlds. Okay, yeah, okay. I just don't think they're grabbing us off the planet right now and doing weird stuff with us and everything. That's what I don't agree with. And I don't think they're coming here to take over a world either. But some folks did come from other worlds. We'll call them aliens, but they were humans. But they were humans of advanced nature. They were actually, by our standards, superhumans of their time. And they tried to help out the situation because Earth needed to move ahead. So they were involved in this process. They had bodies and senses in the three dimensions of time and space that humans occupy where they could sense in any one of these three dimensions at the same time. Very, very, very advanced in comparison even to some humans today. And they, therefore, could marshal and help the humans that were already developed, to some extent, the second race of humans, to try to get them to cooperate. And now this is the interesting part. They were going to try to get them to join with some of the primates that had, on the opposite side, they didn't have much consciousness, but they had really well-developed senses. Their senses were so well-developed that they were better developed than a lot of primates are at the present time. So they had really got the gift of form, you might say. But the humans had the gift of spirit. They had a completed, to some extent, astral and mental heart and crown chakra. They were still somewhat incomplete in their heart and crown chakras as far as etheric is concerned, and that's where their problem was. But anyway, I'm going to tell you a lot more about this. I hope that you're finding this interesting. This is really different. I know it sounds like it's far out there. Oh, boy, it's one of those really metaphysical shows. Yeah, we're going to come back, and I'll try to complete this whole scenario so we understand where it all came from, how the first humans developed. And I'm going to tell you a lot more about Lemurians when we come back from break, which will be in approximately 2.5 minutes from right now.
Hun, what book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of. About romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hun, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower. MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Hi, everyone. Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
Welcome, we're back. Hey, yeah. I was talking to our engineer about very interesting things just now. Okay, so here we come into this new era, 21 million years ago. Now remember, these are approximate numbers. Don't hold me to the month or day or something. I'm giving you round numbers. And the point is that there's an experiment going on. The best way to describe it is, can we get these humans that are barely human, that have etheric senses that aren't really up to snuff, you might say, in a completed sense, to work with an animal body and to somehow join with the animal body. Now, the somehow is through the etheric parts of each. They have to join together their etheric parts, then try to join together their astral parts, and what small amount of mental sense and mental parts are in the animal have to be also integrated into the human. It's done in that order, though. It starts with the etheric, and you got to work your way from that. And in any point in the connection, and the connection can take several years to fully develop, at any point in the connection, if a body fails, it could end the life of that creature, and it inevitably will, if it fails etherically, you're dead. That's it. So any failure in the etheric part, which is unfortunately where things aren't working out usually the best, that's it. Now, if the nature of the animal's emotional system is not up to snuff with the human or vice versa, you can also have a problem there. And the same is true about the lower thought forms, the examples of concepts of humans, the human examples of concepts is way out of whack with the animals. That can also lead to some longer-term disaster, not maybe immediate, but over a number of years, that could cause the joining together to fail. So lots of ways to fail, only one way to really succeed. And the success comes from the two becoming a true human being in form, in physical form, and being able to use the two chakras that make them human in each of the three bodies, which is the heart and crown center, giving them an understanding and an awareness at how to increase more of their God in themselves and others. That's a crown chakra. Using both of those senses together, that's what makes them human. Then all of a sudden, this primate says, hey, I haven't been to church in a while. As a matter of fact, I've never been to church. Maybe I better make a church. Maybe I better be concerned about my fellow humans. Maybe I better be concerned about animals and plants. And wherever I can feel a sense of God, maybe I better try to understand what God is. Those are the things that makes us human. That's the difference between us and those very advanced primates. It's a gift to the primates, and the gift to the humans is that they have saved tens of millions of years in trying to create a human physical body. Because that's already there. You're taking over part of the animal. And you might say, oh, come on. What proof is there of this? Actually, there has been some recent developments. In the last couple of years, they have found some primates from 7 and 8 million years ago that have more social structure, have more consciousness, apparent consciousness, than their later ancestors. Or their later, they're not ancestors, they're later whatever they are, because they aren't exactly even related to them. So if you go back, you know, if you look at this one creature from 8 million or seven and a half million years ago, compared to something from 3.5 million years ago, it was in some ways more advanced, particularly the ways it was more advanced was in consciousness. And that doesn't make any sense at all. And it's an embarrassment right now to the evolutionary biologists because they don't have a way of explaining this. So they're trying to fudge and say, oh, they weren't really that advanced, you know, that kind of like, you know. Maybe they didn't live the way that we exactly look like. They always come up with some kind of way of saying, no, this can't be right because they can't be twice as old in terms of time and be more evolved. Because that wouldn't make sense. But it does make sense, and by the end of today's show, I'll explain how that happened. Okay, so the first group of the experiment 21 million years ago didn't work. They tried it, and just about all of them died. And it didn't take long, like months, 2 years, a few years, and they're all gone. Because they couldn't get these etheric bodies to even match up and work together. And when that happens, there's no chance of staying physically alive. Okay, so you say, well, then what happened then? Well, they waited a few million years because those aren't just, you know, trying it over and over again and killing off all the primates that exist because then you don't have to start right from the beginning. You're not saving any time. So you've got to stop the experiment before you wipe out all the primates because then what are you going to do, you know? Okay, so they stopped the experiment, they being those that came here to kind of help in it, and also the beings that connected with this planet that were really far advanced. So the collective groups of those who were trying to develop humans as quickly as possible on Earth, they decided, though whoever they are, because I'm not giving you any specifics about them, they decided to try it a few million years later, about 18 million years ago. And they got further. They got actually considerably better results, but eventually, like within 5 years, 6 years, they all died again because of the same problems. It's just that they weren't as severe. And more of it was the addition of the astral and the mental with the etheric combined together. They actually got to those levels of development, and they still couldn't get them to function. All right. There still wasn't any humans produced by what we would call sexual reproduction. None of that ever happened with these. So you're not going to go back and find them and find offspring from them because they never got to that level. Okay, so when we finally reached about 16 and a half million years ago, and it succeeds. Not all the time. Some of the humans that are made this way die off, but quite a few actually continue to live. And those that live and develop themselves over time become sexually mature, and guess what? They start having children. They start actually reproducing, and the reproduction now, those that are reproduced, are actually fully human right from birth. You don't have to take the etheric, astral, mental body from a human and put it together. They are now a totally new race. And this new race, the third race of humans, is sometimes referred to as the Lemurians. Now, where did they live? They lived in a continent that is just a bunch of islands right now, you know, like Fiji and all those islands out there in the South Pacific. That used to be a continent, but it has subsided not just below the ocean, but it has subsided into the crust and actually down into the mantle of the Earth. It's disappeared. There's not much there except maybe some mounds, you know. And because the Earth opened up in the divide that goes through that part of the ocean, and it just fell right back in. Now, during the time that that continent came up, it started coming up about 25 or 6 million years ago, somewhere in that range. It took over from, in at least ray focus, every continent has its own ray focus, from Antarctica, which was, at that time, developing a lot of ice and it was getting cold and was killing off the animals that had lived there for some time. Or even dinosaurs used to live in the South Pole. But it was, again, getting colder and it was losing its ability to support life. And it was getting transferred over to Lemuria. And the interesting thing is that the ray focus of that continent is actually six ray. The Antarctic is actually a six ray continent. But when the people started to develop, the Lemurians started to develop because they developed their sense, their seventh ray sense, which is the sexual center, the most. They actually changed the nature of their own continent over time, millions of years, from about 16 and a half million years ago until about 10 million years ago. the continent actually became more of a seventh-rate type of continent, which is kind of interesting, because then we had two seventh-rate focused continents. One of them was Africa, and the other one was Lemuria. Not surprisingly, there became a connection between them, and as these people degenerated over time, they ended up going to Africa, because that was the continent they felt best about, and they were most able to connect with it, and they could live there easily. And some of the, even the animal life may have resembled that. So in other words, if you look at what kind of animals they had like mammoths running around and mastodons and that sort of thing. And those animals became elephants on Africa. But again, a lot of them were destroyed when the whole continent went down and was wiped out, etc. Another interesting thing that most people